This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
What do you do when you're allegedly running low on funds, your husband has been charged with being a serial killer, and there's a lot of spotlight on you for what you did or didn't do that not a lot of people know about? How about get a documentary film crew to start following you around and cash in, make about $1 billion? What could possibly be wrong with that? In some ways, I look at this and I go, you know, she's got medical bills, she's got all this, the main provider is gone. I understand. Yeah, you need some funds to get by. But on the backs of the people who were murdered allegedly by your husband for a documentary news magazine expose type piece, this doesn't feel quite right. It feels a lot of ick to me on this one. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. We're talking about human behavior here. What are your thoughts on this new move from Asa Elrup, the wife of Rex Huerman?
Yeah, it makes sense for her. There is no doubt. Mm-hmm. And there's a few other things that I'm curious about her that we're not quite sure because we really don't have the data points yet on it. Going to the documentary, that's the word I'm really curious about. If it's a documentary and unscripted and we're going to get behind the scenes, that would be interesting, I think, to viewers. The problem I'm starting to have with it is it doesn't have that feel. I have an initial curiosity about who approached her from Peacock to do this, because they probably sounds like they might have had a really phenomenal skill set for communication. I'd love to hear how that conversation went.
Yeah,
to inspire her to do this. When we had the initial photographs of her, video of her, and comments from her, she seemed very standoffish, very not want to be in the public eye, and it was completely looks like to be flipped.
Sure.
So that conversation is pretty interesting. The other thing that's kind of got me ick with the ick, like you said, and your initial impression, I think, is spot on with the ick. And why do we feel ick? Because we have an incongruence between what they're saying and what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. If we're doing a documentary, the way she looks, the way she appears, the way she speaks, the tempo of how she's interacting should be congruent with what we saw prior to the film crew coming in. Mm-hmm. And what have we seen?
Exactly.
New car, new clothes, new outlook. New words. Mm-hmm. We have incongruence.
Yeah.
Is it scripted or not? So that's why we're getting the ick.
And it makes you wonder, I mean, especially when money is involved in a documentary type setting. I get, you know, someone following you around would be a payday. It would be one where you would expect to be making some money on, I would assume. But it's different when it's a sit-down interview and you're there to talk about something and share knowledge to further a case or something of that nature. But this, when you have the money involved and producers have a narrative where they're going to want this to go, and it will likely go where they want it to because there is that money involved, mm-hmm. which then doesn't necessarily equate to a very honest look at her life, I would assume.
I would like to have seen, here's what I would like to see. I love reality shows. I am, you know, besides True Crime, obviously, which is a reality show unto itself, mm-hmm. I love reality shows, and the best reality shows out there, the way they record their documentary side is they will have cameras around their subject that they're conversing with and interacting with for quite a period of time prior to the actual film rolling. Mm-hmm. So what they do is you desensitize the individual towards of the presence of the cameras, mm-hmm. so that they get over the initial trying to impress people, trying to deal with their own insecurities, trying to put on a show, and just go back to their normal baseline.
Sure.
And so it'll be interesting to see, because what we've seen in the initial following of her with the cameras is we have a spike in her baseline of mm-hmm. what we saw from the limited data points. You know, I got to, you know, make sure I caveat myself here, is that maybe she does drive like this and she dresses like this and she interacts like this. And what we saw in the few fleeting moments when he was initially arrested was not her baseline. Maybe this is her baseline.
Yeah.
That's what we really need to establish, because we have an incongruence that we're seeing in the public eye that I think people are going to want to understand before they listen and consume the show that Peacock's going to put on, because that's what it is. And as you said, it's at the detriment, I'm thinking, of the victims' families.
Yeah, I mean, that's the real super icky part to me about it. What do you think investigators are thinking at this point? Because number one, they haven't talked to her, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but maybe there's some sort of strategy there. Is this another thing that they're looking at going, give her the rope, go ahead, do whatever you want to do and see what happens? If there is some sort of involvement, if there is something that we don't know about that she has not been saying, this should be the way to find out, especially when you get to all of the footage, not just what's going to air on Peacock in a bite-sized piece, but they could subpoena all of the B-roll. And when you're doing a documentary, there's a lot. I mean, a lot. And you know that, and I know that. So I would think if they're trying to get more on Rex or trying to understand this individual, what's going on, she would be the perfect person to look, at least to get a starting point. It is his wife who he's lived with forever. Do you see some of this footage being subpoenaed at some point for that purpose?
Yeah, potentially. It's going to come down to all the blind spots that we have outside of their circle of investigation. Mm-hmm. And that is, we don't know what prosecution has.
Yeah.
And so they seem pretty confident they have what they want, but this is, it's a danger area, I would think, for defense, mm-hmm. just because, you don't know what she's going to let go. Now, on the flip side, on her side, though, and Peacock's, they got to be paying a lot of money for good attorneys. Because this is a big deal. I mean, even when I'm in the midst of publishing my fourth book, and yeah. we have attorneys that go through the manuscript. We check in with the people that even if we make a minor reference of a name, we got to double check there. Licensing of image, all these things, just to make sure that we're on good legal footing with such an innocuous book on creating alliances and trust with someone. Sure. Right? So this much more impactful. So it's a heavy load, I think, that the documentary people are lifting, and we'll see if they can stand up to it.
Yeah.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.